This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Malagana's Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Josh, in Europe, there was a bit of a storm going on, okay? Not good.
Mm-hmm.
Bit more than just like, it was like hail and it was a bit more than just like a bit of light rain.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Bit of a rough storm.
Exactly. To the point where you might be concerned about what's going on outside. Like if you have like a backyard, you might be like, oh, I hope stuff doesn't get blown around. Hope stuff doesn't get ruined. A father has taken it upon himself to look after his most prized possession,
mm-hmm.
his car. Okay, it's outside, it's in the rain, in the hail, God forbid anything happens to it. What he's decided to do, and the only reason I know this is because his children have come home to this and have been like, what the hell have you done? He's decided to drive his car into his lounge room. As to
through
keep,
a wall, or is it no, through an opening that he could
an opening,
get in?
Through yeah, like a very okay. big opening in the garage, and then there's another one. He has decided to drive his car into the lounge room. And it's just sitting in there to protect it from the wind and rain.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So yes. He has a garage.
Yep.
He's driven through the garage.
Yep.
Obviously to put another car in, I guess.
Yeah.
So we keep all the cars safe.
Yep.
But this pride and joy car's made it into the lounge room.
It seems like it's one of those garages that doesn't close. Like
It's like a carport.
It's a carport.
That's
sort
not going to protect you if the weather gets super feral.
And so he's had to drive it through there and has parked it in the lounge room. And everyone's like, where are we going to eat? How are we going to watch TV?
No, like oil stains, you know, and the car's dripping oil all over
sure
the carpet.
That's what his entire family is hoping. It's so funny that this
you
dad-
make the same argument about a puppy, though. You know, like, hell, yeah. We don't want it to make a mess on the carpet. If you cared about your car that much, you put it all in context.
Yeah, but at the same time, a dog is a living thing. A car is a thing that has no feelings. It's
you know what? It's weird how some dads protect their cars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
A guy we work with here whose name rhymes with Tige.
Right, okay.
Put that however you want. His name rhymes with Tige.
Yeah, okay.
He's parked his car in the carport today.
Really?
Which made me think when I rocked up, I was like, because there's a big exposed car park and then there's also the carport.
Yeah.
Made me think to myself, is there hail today? Is something about to happen that I don't know about? I'm kind of nervous.
Maybe sun fade is what, would you say his name was?
Tige.
Yeah, maybe Tige is worried about sun fade. I tell you what, my dad doesn't care about cars, but my granddad was a mechanic for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to go into like his garage where he keeps his Mazda, his MX-5, which is... whatever. And I remember I got too close to it once and he didn't let me in the house for an hour.
Yeah, right.
Like because I was pretty young. I was like 10 and I was just like walking around being a kid and he was like, get away from the car. And I was like, what? And he was like, get out. And then I had to play outside for an hour.
Yeah, into the postcode that your grandparents live in. Yeah, your phone just rings. Get away from the car. You're too close.
Please stay away. I'd love to know on 131060 because I feel like dads get so protective over their cars.
Mm-hmm.
What has your dad done to be overly protective of his car?
Okay, so if you got a dad that's a bit of a car nut, and we were at the Classic Cruise over the weekend, we saw a lot of car nuts, and they've got some beautiful cars down there, so no wonder.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, they would take care of them.
Yeah.
They would prioritize them.
You can either call up if you are a dad that's overprotective of your car, or if you have a dad that's overprotective of your car, because I feel like when you're learning to drive as well, oof.
You can't take dad's good car when you're learning to drive.
Yet people do.
Dad put me in his company car, which was wildly irresponsible. Anyway, look, my dad's the opposite of this. We want to hear about dads that are ultra protective of their cars.
Yes.
131060 is the number.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Right now, we are talking about dads that are overprotective of their cars.
Yeah, after a dad in Europe drove his car into his actual house on purpose. Into his lounge room to protect it from a storm.
Blake is on the line from Queanbeyan. Blake, how are you?
Very good, boys. How are you?
Yeah, no, good, Blake. Are you a dad that's overprotective, or is your dad overprotective?
I'm not a dad, but me and my old man are very protective of our cars.
Okay, so what's the biggest length you've ever taken this to look after an automobile?
Oh, last big hailstorm we came through, we don't actually have a shed to put our car in.
Yeah.
So we took all the blankets we could find in the house and covered the car so it wouldn't be damaged.
Yeah. Did it work, Blake?
To an extent. A little bit.
Yeah.
I like the fact this was only partially successful. Did you have doonas to sleep with that night, Blake, or were you just roughing it?
I didn't. The rest of the family did.
Okay. So it really did matter a lot to you, Blake, to make sure that your car, it sounds like, still got hurt, like beat up a bit.
It's like Blake's got hypothermia, but at least the car, well, actually, no, it's still kind of damaged. We did this for no reason.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
But Ned, before we go anywhere, Facebook, have you seen the latest news about Facebook?
No.
Getting involved in the dating sphere, potentially.
Like a Tinder and a Bumble and
kind
a sort of thing.
I haven't really looked into exactly how it would roll out, what it would look like.
But I imagine it's online dating, yeah.
It's online dating, and it's Facebook dating.
Okay.
It's rolled out in the US. They're trialing it in certain areas. This is a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea.
Okay, well, I agree, but why?
Because the other thing that was in the news is like Facebook data breaches and stuff, and there was something last week about phone numbers or whatever. Yep. The point I'm trying to make is you can't trust the most private parts of your life to a third party. I'm starting to get freaked out by social media to a Big Brother 1984 level. Yeah. And the thing I have here with this is the dating, if you're going to put yourself out there on a dating app, it is the most vulnerable and weird you could ever possibly be.
Yep.
So why are we letting Facebook be involved in this process?
Exactly right. You were trying to court someone online.
But that's not even the weirdest part about this, right?
Okay.
So the weirdest part for me is the ease at which you could accidentally send a flirty message to a family member. You can't have your Facebook and your dating thing be the one thing.
Yeah. Because I know if I'm going on Tinder, I know I'm going on Tinder app. On Tinder.
It's a different app. Yeah. You need the separation of a different app.
If I go on that,
need the separation.
I could be uploading a status. I could be sending a message. I don't know what I'm doing.
There's too many things you can do on Facebook now. Yeah. You could be going on Facebook, right, to say, so where are you meeting tonight? Yeah. Would you like to go have a meal somewhere, blah, 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 and end up accidentally buying a car. Yeah. Like, there's too many things you can do on Facebook right now.
Facebook's becoming the internet.
Facebook is the internet. This is why I'm having my 1984 complex.
Yeah,
it's becoming too much. You know what? You should not be able to buy a signed Michael Jordan jersey from 1996 and arrange a hookup on the same app. But that shouldn't be arranged. Unless, of course, the person you're meeting is just that big of a fan of Michael Jordan as you are.
Yeah.
And a beautiful relationship blossoms.
Match made in heaven.
Who knows? Maybe I should shut up.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've listened to this show before, you'll know that Ned is my best friend of somewhat 10 years, and his name's Ned Bruart, and I occasionally like to reference some things he'll say, some things he'll do as his arrogant alter ego, Ned Big Time Bruart.
Yep. I vehemently disagree with being a big time Bruart.
Ned Big Time Bruart.
I disagree wholeheartedly. What you usually pick out are like so out of context that it doesn't, it's not.
And that's why I'm so, so happy this morning.
Okay.
Because I don't even need to work for this anymore. There's no out of context here anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
I used to drive a 2004 Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
These things, my family have one. We had one. It was my mum's car. It was my sister's car. My sister still got it. These things are bulletproof. The 2004 Toyota Camry is a beast of a car.
Yep.
You can do anything to them apart from let Ned drive them.
Yeah.
And within 12 months, you've decimated one of these cars that is widely considered bulletproof.
Yep. Okay.
You've replaced it with a new car.
Yes, I have.
Ironically, also from the year 2004.
Yes, it is.
But $5,500 later, 160,000 Ks on the clock.
Yeah.
If I was to open your car and take a look at the steering wheel, what would I see right in the middle of the steering wheel, Ned?
You would see a circle that has several appendages pointing into the middle that would resemble a Mercedes-Benz logo.
Yes!
Damn it. Yeah.
Ned's driving a Merc, Canberra.
It was a $5,000 Mercedes, okay? It's as expensive as the Camry.
And now, see, this is the thing I love about this. You are driving how you should be driving, aren't you, Ned? This is how you look at this. You're like, you know what? I have arrived, finally.
It was cheaper than literally every other car that I saw.
The scene in Get Rich or Die Trying, where 50 Cent rolls out of the thing, singing along to Window Shopper after just buying his Merc.
Yeah.
Tell me you haven't done that yet.
I haven't done that because it's so old that I can't play music
through it. It's ironically the same one, 50 Cent drove out in. Yes! This is endless fun for me now because I get to talk about how you're a highfalutin Benz driver.
Your car was worth more than mine, I'm pretty sure.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's newer.
The Red Book value of mine's more than yours.
Yeah.
Yep. Sweet. So now I just have something that looks very wanky that I also have not paid any of the money or have any of the clout for.
The thing I like about this the most is you have you do still have one very cool status thing that comes with driving a Merc. Because by the way, I would drive a Merc if I could. I'm not hanging it on Merc. So I just love this so much that you're driving one.
Yeah.
The keys for a Merc haven't changed a lot since 2004.
Yeah, there's no actual like metal key. It's just like you put it in.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Big time bride.
What?
Have you been swinging that key around?
I did yesterday once and I felt like an absolute loser.
Because the thing is, no one needs to know it's a $5,500 2004 Merc with 170,000 Ks on the clock.
Yeah.
They just see that key and they're like, whoa.
Yeah. You know what's the saddest thing? It feels so good to swing the keys around. They've got such a good weight to them that they swing around perfectly. It's meant for it.
That's the real you. Canberra's seeing the real you for the first time.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, guy's gone over to Manchester. He's currently covering the Ashes.
Okay.
He's like a sports writer.
Yep.
So decided to go out for a beer at a pub, as you do when you're in England. Why not?
As you do when Australia retains the Ashes.
Exactly.
But for the first time in 18 years on English soil.
Yeah. So he's gone for a beer. He has used his card. He didn't ask the bar attendant how much the beer cost until after he'd started paying for it. Because you roughly, I don't know what it's like in Europe, but like $10 for a pint.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, if you're getting a pretty stock standard beer, no worries. This is, I want to read you, I was just going to tell you the story, but I want to read you his quote because it's how I think I would react if what happened to him happened to me.
Do I need to have this button ready to go?
No. Okay, there's no swearing.
Right, okay.
Yep. There would be if it was for me, but this is what this guy said. So he didn't ask how much it was. Then she checked, covered her mouth, started to giggle and refused to tell me, saying only there had been a mistake and she would fix it. Okay? Then she kept giggling. And I told her it needed to be fixed and fixed right now. She ran to get the manager, who took the situation far more seriously and went about attempting to arrange a refund. She told me someone would be in contact because this lady charged him $99,983 with a $2,000 transaction fee.
Wow.
So $100,000.
I'm trying to work out how that even worked.
$100,000.
So she typed in $100,000 instead of 10.
Maybe he went to get a $10 beer and she's just kept pressing zero.
Oh, because you can enter on a lot of AFPOS machines. You have to enter the price yourself.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, God. I love this. She kept giggling and I told her it needed to be fixed and it needed to be fixed right now.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
What's this dude doing with $100,000 in his everyday access account?
I have no idea.
Move into another account, my dude. That is such a bad idea.
I have no idea what this guy is doing. He still hasn't gotten it back, like, because there is, you know how you have like the 3-day like transaction.
I get more than, by the way, just so you know, I get more than $300 in that everyday access account. Yep. I move it to my net bank saver account because I don't want that much money sitting in there.
I have no idea how. Maybe it's just overdrawn his account.
God,
but that's like a loan.
Yeah,
$100,000 is a loan.
Geez, well, if you're looking to buy a house, now we know how to do it without having to go through an approval process.
Right. But you know when you like go and buy something at a shop and then they're like, you're like, oh, I need a refund, and they're like, oh, it might take 2 to 3 days. That's what's happening with $100,000. Imagine how nervous you would be.
That's so scary.
When I worked at Glory Jeans, we had like an FOS machine where I had to put it in, and I used to like get so nervous.
I was claimed so many victims. I remember once I was on a trip with a mate and we went into Subway. This was in Sydney, so Subway's here in Canberra.
Yep.
But like it was a $19 thing. I got some cookies and a drink and really, really treated myself. I was on holidays.
Yeah.
They whacked $190 through instead of $19. So I didn't realize until I went to the next shop, which coincidentally was the Bottle-O, and my card was declined. I went, what happened? I got on my app and I went, what?
Righto.
Subway was nice. It wasn't that nice.
I would love to know because I never did it, but I was so nervous. It's happened to you. I would love to know.
$190, $19 into $190.
Exactly right. I'd love to know on 13 1060. Did you overprice someone on FPOS or were you charged an overpriced fee Josh? Get on the phone right now, 13 1060. Let us know because I would love to hear about some of these. Because honestly, 1-0
Oh, the game's
changes
over.
Someone's month.
That's it. 2-0 changes their year.
Imagine if you go and buy an iPhone, which is already like $1,000 something, and they accidentally
1800.
Yeah, well, that's it. 800. Accidentally slap another zero on there. 18,000.
Yeah.
13 10 60. Get on the phone. Let us know if you were overcharged for something on FPOS.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, you've got an update on a potentially disturbing development in the office.
I sure do. All right. So on Wednesday, I didn't really realize it until Friday afternoon. There was an email sent out by the very lovely Jackie, who works here at work.
Love Jackie.
Love Jackie as well.
Jackie.
Jack what?
That song from the 90s. Jackie.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jackie. Don't remember that song?
No, I don't remember that song. Don't try and find it.
It's not going to be hard for me to find.
You have kind of.
Ooh, Jackie.
Well, okay, despite what
Jackie now has a theme song, by the way. Okay, congratulations.
Good. Okay, so Jackie, on top of already being a fantastic lady in the office, is also doing her bit to fundraise for kids' sport, which is very, very exciting.
Oh, God, no.
And the way that Jackie is planning on doing this...
No, Jackie, no.
...is selling chocolates on her desk for a dollar.
You've lost the theme song, Jackie. You've lost the theme song. And I tell you why.
Because she was doing a couple of months ago.
She's a pusher, and she's pushing chocolate on me.
Yeah.
And I owed her like $50 last time she did this.
Yeah, you actually did. You had an IOU for $50 in there because you just go and get one with your lunch. You just go and get a chocolate.
Jackie collects. She's,
of course. I've worked
in offices before where there becomes a bit of confusion about who owes this and who owes that.
The person who brought it
Jackie
in ends
just
up paying
straight around to my desk and went, "You owe me $50 and I need that by tomorrow."
Yeah, there you go. That's so. I love that Jackie called you on it.
I can't do this. Yeah. This is no good.
You don't have to because you said,
I can't.
Jackie,
I don't have enough self control. I love chocolate too much.
You were like, oh, Jackie chases me. No, she didn't. You'd go around her. I'd watch you go to her desk every morning and go and buy a chocolate. Jackie doesn't do anything. She essentially knows that you will come to her, rain, hail, or shine, and get one of these chocolates.
Beautiful Cadbury chocolates. Freddos, caramello koalas. Yep, she had even a couple of strawberry Freddos in there.
No strawberry Freddos this time.
Oh, that's going to help.
Crunchy, Timeout, Toblerone, Cherry Ripe, Freddo, and caramello koala.
Oh, so these are all like big chocolate bars.
Yeah.
Remember
you promised not that long ago, like 2 weeks ago on the show, that you were going to do a photo shoot at the end of the year? That was like the motivation for losing weight.
The summer bod bet.
The summer bod bet.
The summer bod bet.
Yeah.
It's looking like it's in jeopardy at the moment.
It really is. Yeah, that's it. Chocolate will be your undoing.
Wait a minute. Let's look into this a little bit, all right?
What?
And I'm not going to accuse Jackie of anything. Certainly not publicly.
Sounds like you're about to.
I'm about to. Is this even raising money for anything?
Yes.
No. Hear me out.
Okay.
I didn't know that Cadbury did full-size bars as fundraising things. I've only ever seen giant Freddos and giant caramello koalas as fundraising things.
Yeah.
I think Jackie needs a bit of spare cash.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jackie's gone to Costco and just bought those bulk chocolate bar things that you can buy from there and is pretending this is for kids' sport, knowing I'll buy all of them.
Yeah. So just for the record, and I'd like you to answer this truthfully, were you buying them because they were for children's charities or were you buying them because you're a little Augustus Gloop? Huh?
That's what I was going to say. If Jackie just rocked up with a pack of twirls and put them on my desk, I'd just give her the money, to be honest.
This is actually going to stop children's sports going ahead. I'm going to go out there and put this money towards like kicking over flags
and
stuff.
What are you doing to me, Jackie?
You would still buy those chocolates.
Oh, my God.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, I went and saw a movie by the name of It Chapter 2. It's about a clown who really takes a lot of enjoyment in what he does.
Oh, you should see Ned's eye. It's flickering.
And what he does.
You hate clowns so much that you can't even handle this music. I'll get rid of it. I just wanted to prove to everyone. Yeah. Oh,
what he does is murder indiscriminately children and adults alike.
Okay, so that's a step up from the beginning. He was originally just murdering children. As evil as this sounds, I walked out of it going, well, I'm fine.
Yeah. It's like when you see Jaws and you go, well, if I was, I don't swim, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's it. I walked out of the first it going, no, I'll be good. No. So he's adults now as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
But children, don't worry. He's still playing the
that's
classics.
Not good.
Yeah. He's playing the classics of still killing children, but he's also,
so he's adults as well now. I don't need to go and see it too.
Nah.
I mean, that is terrifying. He is terrifying, Pennywise the Clown.
I went to go yesterday. I went to go and see
Hobbs. Do love Bill Hader, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, sorry. Okay, enough. You go. Tell the story.
I went to go and see Hobbs and Shaw yesterday with my friend Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy to do that.
Yeah.
Don't know a lot about Fast and Furious, but I was like, I'm going to go see The Rock and Jason Statham
and Idris Elba.
And Idris Elba fight with cars.
Vanessa Kirby.
I can get around this regardless.
Great.
We got there way too late. And so by the time we got there, the session had already started.
Oh, it's Fast and Furious, mate. That movie will just take off and it'll get away from you. You need to be there on time.
Am I going to be able to catch up on the story? No. Will I know the character development? I can't go in halfway through a Fast and Furious movie. So my friend Reese said, oh, well, there's a screening of It that's about to start. Let's go see that instead.
For a guy with an extreme clown phobia, that's not a sentence you ever want to hear.
It's an extreme screen.
Oh, God.
Went to Hoyts
and Belconnen.
Makes
it even more scary.
The only one that was incredible. There. Yeah, God. Yep. So we went in there. I was like, fine, let's do it.
How'd you go?
Not good.
Okay.
We sat off to the side, and I thought, you know what, this is okay, because it's just me and Reese. Like, I can be as scared as I want.
Yeah.
Just before it started, a guy and a girl walked in, a couple, and they sat next to me. And I grabbed the dude by accident.
What do you mean?
Like, he had his arm on on our shared arm recliner.
And you went to grab the armrest.
And I was like, oh, Jesus. And then
I grabbed his arm.
And he went, oh, Jesus, what are you doing?
It was like the movie's in 4D all of a sudden. Pennywise is coming for him.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so sorry. And then he just looked at me and didn't talk because we're at the movies, which is what I should have done. And he just looked at
me
and then went back
together,
to watching.
Mate. Yeah.
It was so scary. It was not good.
Okay, so let's unpack this just a little bit. First and foremost, why did you agree to go into the movie at all? You're at the movies, but there's also, if you're in Belconnen, there's the iPlay right next to it. Go play some arcade games. Go on the Dodgem cars.
Because my friend
play
Reese...
Pool. Do anything other than go and see It. You have an extreme clown phobia.
Yeah, I know. Because my friend Reese is from out of town. And so he was like, I want to go and do this.
Doesn't get rid of the clown phobia.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, you know what? I don't need my friend. He's only going to see me for a weekend. I don't need him seeing me at my absolute worst. So I was like,
don't go into it.
No, because that's
me crying.
Me being a coward is worse than me being scared.
Did you yelp at any point during the movie?
That wasn't hyperbole when I went, oh, Jesus. I actually said that and grabbed that dude. Yeah, I very much did that. Shout out to the guy. Hopefully your date went well.
Let's let that be a lesson to you to not hog the armrest, I guess. Look, just quick question to you.
Yeah.
I'd like to say you are brave and you've done something smart here.
Thank you.
Because I am 1 point away from winning the Dare of Destiny. Yeah. And unfortunately for me, it actually ruins what my Dare of Destiny was going to be.
Yes.
Which was sitting you in a row in a cinema to watch It too with a row full of clowns.
Yep. Well,
of which I was going to be one. I was going to get painted up.
Yeah, of course. You're already a clown. So thank God. I went and bit the bullet before
I'm
you
I'm a bit angry that that's been taken away from me, to be honest.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We do need to discuss one more thing before we get out of here this morning, and that is that in China, they have cloned a kitten. Cloned a cat.
Sten Josh, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't have anything to say about that.
What do you mean? So they just cloned a cat?
They've cloned a cat. It's part of a pet cloning service that's apparently booming over there. They've done a bunch of dogs. Yeah. Now this is a cute little kitten that's
very
on the
nice.
Internet.
Very,
and
that's
say,
adorable. That's cool.
This is, a lot of people say China's the home of innovation because you're doing things with the renewable energy that we could not even dream of, the amount of money that's going into that over there at the moment.
Yep.
But I will say they've innovated the cloning game because cloning is controversial.
Of course.
People have lots to say about it.
Cloning's also, in my mind, very underwhelming. Because you don't just like put a thing into a tube and then it comes. And you also get like a baby.
It's not like a push a button. Yeah, no.
No, but that's what I'm also saying. Like, I couldn't. I just want like
it's like that new Will Smith movie that's coming out. It's not going to be like that.
Exactly. I would come out. That's it. I'd love a clone of myself. That'd be funny if I like another 24-year-old came out, but I'd have to look after a baby.
Raise a baby. To be the same as you, and it would be the most self-involved process in human history.
I would never do it because I'm also very lazy.
But this is a great way. It's clever from China. A great way to negate any of the controversy.
What do you mean?
Who's upset about a kitty cat? You're looking at this adorable little kitty cat, and you're like, well, I don't know about the moral ethics of cloning, and this is all very strange, but look at him.
Yeah, that's true.
So clever to start with dogs and cats.
Yeah.
People are just stoked to have little dogs and cats.
Well, what did they first start it with? The sheep?
Well, we had Dolly the sheep or whatever. People are like, no, sheep's are cute, but still, whatever.
And honestly,
little
you could
have... kitty cats, little puppies. Yeah. Everyone's stoked on this.
Someone could have come up to me with two sheep and gone, oh, look, I cloned this sheep. And I'd gone, all right.
I'll take your word for it.
They all look the same.
game. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
It's the end of this morning's show. We are going to be back tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. potentially. We've also got more chances for you.
We've said a lot of controversial things like sheep all look the same and sometimes your parents want a different gender.
I will say this much this morning.
Yeah.
You are still tomorrow going to have the chance to win with Ned and Josh's Macca's Monopoly.
True.
More chances for you to spin that, to roll the dice and spin yourself around the Monopoly board. Got my things confused there, my verbs, but my doing words.
You nailed it, though.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah. Picked it back up. Hey, the 9 minutes of old school is up next. You got stuff from Sean Kingston. Also, the Freestylers. You have a fantastic Monday, Canberra. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
See ya.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.